Hello, this is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you for tuning in to Reformed Living with John Politon. Today, John brings us part two of a message on struggling with doubt. Have you ever come to a point in your life as a Christian where you have doubts about God? John the Baptist did. As a matter of fact, that's where we pick up our lesson today, with John the Baptist suffering in prison and wondering if Jesus really was the Messiah. Here's John Politon.
Friend, you need to mark this down. You will never grow in your spiritual life. You will always struggle with doubt of one form or another if you are a person who does not practice the discipline of spending time every day in the Word of God. Prayer means the Word of God. And by the way, what does Jesus tell him? He says, I want you to look at the Word of God, and he also, what is he telling him that he'll see in the Word of God? The works of Christ. Fabulous passage of Scripture. Don't turn there. Just write this down. Luke 7, verse 21. Luke 7, verse 21. Why is that a fabulous passage of Scripture? Because it's the parallel account to this one. And when the disciples of John come, and they inquire on John's behalf and says, are you the expected one or do we look for another? It says in Luke 7, verse 21, in the same hour, meaning immediately. It's a euphemism. Right then, at that point in time, it says, he cured many infirmities, he cures many afflictions and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And then Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. In other words, he didn't just say, look at what I've been doing. And when they ask him the question, he says, okay. And he starts healing people right there on the spot in the disciple of John's presence. And he says, there's some miracles for John. Go back and tell him my works. Friends, one of the greatest things you will ever do when you go to God in prayer, when you ask God to reveal truth from His Word to comfort your heart, a third thing that you will do that will win the victory over doubt is to reflect back in your own life at the incredible works of God. Not only in Scripture, certainly in Scripture, and the works of Christ, but in your own life. If you have walked with Jesus Christ truthfully for any length of time at all, you can't tell me that you can't sit here right now and look back and see how God has protected, God has provided, God has over and over and over again has looked out for you and me. I can go back to times, and most of you have heard the stories many times, I want to repeat them all, but I can go back to times. I didn't come to know Christ until I was 26 years old. But let me tell you something. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Ephesians 1, before the foundation of the world, as one of the elect. And so God is preserving and protecting me, physically and otherwise, all my life, knowing that at some point in time, in time, space, dimension, history, at the age of 26, on August the 26th, 1975, I was going to give my life to Christ. I can go back when I was a little child and think of amazing situations where 1 second before, if I'd have been there 1 second sooner, I'd be dead. I can remember being at Watkins Glen race course to see Mario Andretti and Team Lotus, and they were at a road course race. And at Watkins Glen, you can walk across a pit area and stand by a guardrail where this track is. But in the pits, there are another track, they're zooming in behind you. And it was just during practice, not during the race. And these guys are zipping around at 200 and some miles an hour, and I'm excited about seeing Andretti and so forth. And I got caught up in the moment. I remember this like it was, I get chills still thinking about it. Literally, we're on a sidewalk this wide, leaning over this guardrail, looking at these guys, and just three or four friends of mine in college looking at this, and I started to step away and just back off, and a friend, his name's Paul Cox, grabbed me like this, and a race car just was zip behind us. I had forgotten we were not looking over the pit area. We'd walked out to this area. If he doesn't grab me, literally, I'm a half a second from being sliced in half. Like, I can go through 50, literally, I can go through 50 of those just life and death experiences, let alone the spiritual times and the different things that God preserved and kept me from. And orchestrated events that I didn't partake of something, or I wasn't in a certain place before something happened, and on and on and on and on and on. This is really underscores, by the way, the value of journaling, the value of keeping a prayer diary. It is something that I've gotten out of the habit. I started again, as a matter of fact. I've started and stopped many times. But I really started in earnest again this week in preparing this lesson because I want to start more and more recording these. Psalm 86, verse 17. What's it say? Oh, Lord, show us a sign of your goodness. Being able to catalog and look back and see where God is at work, active. And by the way, if you can't look back and see any of those, you're not in the family of God. You don't know Christ, and you need to follow the mandate of 2 Corinthians 13 and examine yourself and see whether or not you are or are not in the faith. And if you are not, you need to give your life to Christ. But the answer to John's doubt is you go to Christ in prayer, you ask Him, you seek Him, you seek it out, you ask Him what's on your heart. He speaks back to you through the Word of God. And what have we said over and over again? How does God instruct us? How does God teach us? The preaching, teaching of the Word of God, your personal prayer times in the Word of God as He speaks to you through the power of the Spirit of God and illuminates truth to your heart and life. And after you've been under sound preaching and in the Word of God and are praying and are seeking and want to know the truth and are, then you can properly assess what's the third way He instructs us, the circumstances of life. And you can look at your life circumstances through the grid of the Scriptures. This is exactly what He's telling John here. By the way, this jumped out at me like, I don't have a clue where I am in my notes, but let's just stay with the text. This jumped out at me like neon lights. Look at Matthew 11, verse 5. He quotes Scripture, and then look what he says here at the end. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. In other words, hey, John, we're looking at an internal perspective here. Look at the big picture here. And he says, and blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. This is the point we've been driving home for week after week after week. You know what he's saying there? This is not about you. This is not about you in prison. This is not about your heartache. This isn't about what great things you've done. This isn't about being my second cousin. This isn't about being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. This isn't about fulfilling prophecy or a lie. This is not about you. It's never been about you. It's all about me, the Christ. Now, Christ can say that. He's God. He says, blessed. This is a gentle rebuke here. Hey, John, this is a beatitude. Oh, the blessedness of a guy who keeps from scandalazzo, being scandalized, being trapped, being ensnared by the things of the world. Blessed is he who does not stumble over or stumble because of me. In other words, I haven't been visiting you in prison. You know, if it was you and me, and John, our second cousin, who'd done all these things. And by the way, why is he in prison? He's in prison for doing what's right. He's in prison for boldly confessing Christ that we've been talking about for weeks. He's in prison for following the leading of God. He's in an absolutely most horrendous circumstance you can imagine. And he doesn't know this yet, but he's about to lose his head. He's going to have his head chopped off pretty soon. He's never going to get out of there. He's in the worst circumstances imaginable because he's been obedient to God's call. What does Peter say to you, believer? Don't wonder. Don't be confused. Don't be shocked at the fiery trials and the ordeals that come upon you as though some strange thing is happening unto you. He says, well, hey, this is the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. This is the call to discipleship. This is what it's about to be a believer in Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ, not your personal happiness. Well, the business is going bad. The marriage is going bad. The relationship's bad. The health is bad. The grades are bad. The this, the that. Doesn't matter. It's all about Christ. The only thing that matters is how in the world can God be glorified out of my circumstances. That's exactly what he's telling him there. John, blessed is he who doesn't stumble because of me, even though you're going through a literal hell on earth. Now, this is the part that jumped out at me. If it were you and me, I'd say, man, Neville, he's been so faithful to class. He's led the singing. He's done this. He's done that. He's trying to stand up for the Lord. He's trying to live in righteousness. He's trying to do everything right. And here the guy's going through these rotten times, these hard times, going through hell on earth. You know what? I'm going to pick up the phone. Hey, Neville, you know what? Hang in there, buddy. You're a great guy. You've done some wonderful things for the Lord, and you've been used in a mighty way. And look at all the people that have been turned to Christ because of you, and on and on. Jesus doesn't do any of that. Doesn't even visit him. And guess what? This is the part, now I finally got there, that just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Well, John will continue in a moment with the point that, quote, hit him like a ton of bricks in this conversation between Jesus and the disciples of John the Baptist. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon, and a message today in our study called Do You Struggle with Doubt? If you'd like a copy of today's program, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Click on the tab that says Sermons. For a small fee, you can get John's sermons mailed to you on CD as well. Just click the Contact tab and send your request in an email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. And now, let's get back to our study. Here's John with more on a certain exchange that took place between Jesus and the disciples of John the Baptist.
Look at verse 7. And as these were going, who are the these? The disciples of John who came to ask him the question. They come. He says, here's some miracles. Boom, 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 boom. Go and show John again. Lame walk, lepers are cleansed, dead arise, gospel's preached, blah, 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 blah. Go. And as they go. John's disciples go. Then Jesus, he doesn't say it to John's disciples. As a matter of fact, he lets them get on their way and get going. Then he turns to the multitudes and says, what in the world did you people go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? You go out to see a guy wearing silk clothes and soft clothing and so on. He said, what did you go out there to? He says, let me tell you something. There hasn't been a man born of woman ever greater than John the Baptist. What's the point? He never said it to John's disciples. He never allowed John's disciples to take it back to John. He never gave John an attaboy. I think he's underscoring the point for you and me. Quit looking for the strokes anywhere but in the Word of God. We are to live our lives totally sold out to the cause of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Come hell or high water. Come dungeons or cross. That's what pick up your cross daily and follow me is all about. What does that mean? And man, here it is in black and white. It's all about me. It's all about Christ. It's not about you. And Jesus carries it right down the line. And I think that passage is in this Word of God, just like it says in Romans 14. These things were written for our instruction. And I think this is just a part of our instruction into how we have to have the big picture. You go to Christ in prayer. You ask Him. You share your doubts. You pour your heart out to Him as you pour over His Word. And you watch Almighty God remain faithful to His Word and answer you. What are you looking for in His Word? You're looking for the works of Christ. You're looking for the truth of God. He'll comfort you from His Word. And by the way, what's He saying to John? Don't think I don't care, John. I'm a God of compassion. Go tell John. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The dead are being raised. And people who are on their way to a real place called hell are having the gospel preached to them so they have an opportunity to repent of their sins and give their life to me, the Christ. He said, I'm the God of all compassion. And later on, down in Matthew 11, when we get there, he's going to say at the end of Matthew 11, hey, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what's he say? The only place in the entire Word of God where Jesus describes himself is right there at the end of Matthew 11. And what's he say? For I am gentle and humble in heart. I'm a God of compassion. But let me tell you something. The compassion is rightly directed. And you've got to understand these spiritual truths. And he says, this is not about you. Your life is not. You're bought with a price. You're a slave. You're either a slave to Satan and a slave to sin. You're a slave to the Savior. There's no middle ground. You're either sitting here today and you are a child of darkness, or you are sitting here today and you are a child of the King. There's no middle ground. Well, that sounds awful authoritarian. That sounds awful dogmatic. That sounds pretty narrow to me. Your argument's not with me. Your argument's with the Word of God. You test it yourself. Where do I go? Where would I begin? I say, just grab the Gospel of John. Or if you want to, grab the Gospel of Matthew. And just start reading. And just say, and I would start this way. I'd say, Lord, I don't know if you're real or not. I don't know anything. I don't know if this Bible is a word of God or if these people are all on a magical mystery tour. I don't know if this Jesus Christ is just a wonderful figure of history or a figment of somebody's imagination or if he's really God come in the flesh. I don't know if I'm talking to ceiling fans and Armstrong ceiling tiles or if you're really there listening. But if this word is true, and if what I heard that guy say Sunday morning about your word is true, then God, show yourself to me. Friend, if you pray that prayer and you start reading the Word of God and your heart attitude is, whatever he shows me in his word, I'll do. If that's really your heart attitude, I will tell you categorically on the authority of the word of God, Almighty God will reveal himself in the pages of Scripture. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free to do one of two things. Free to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. To repent of your sins and get your life finally on the track that God has ordained it to be on. Or free to reject the truth of the Scriptures. And you will know when that day comes and you face the jaws of hell why you're facing it. Because you rejected his truth. The amazing thing to me is that people will live in the 21st century and call themselves enlightened, scholarly, educated, open-minded individuals. And they have never picked up and read the number one bestseller of all time. Better than anything on the New York Times bestseller list by multiple millions of copies. It's outsold everything. And yet people in their fleshly pride want to brag on how intellectual they are. Well, have you ever read the Bible? Well, no, but I know it's... Well, wait a minute. Have you ever read... No. And just so you know, because I know there's some here today who by their own admission don't know Christ, and I speak to you directly, this is not one book. It's 66 books put together by the Spirit of God with a constant theme. 39 books in the Old Covenant, 27 in the New, all carrying through the theme of the Christ, the Messiah. I suggest you go to the Gospel of John. Take a chapter. Take a half a chapter. Read a few verses. Ask God to reveal them. If you will do that every day for a month, half a chapter, chapter, full chapter, two, doesn't matter. Work all the way through the Gospel of John or all the way through the Gospel of John. You get to the end of it, start again for 30 days asking God to show you the truth. You'll know the truth. You will know the truth forever in your life one way or the other. Will never be the same again. Difficult circumstances. Keep an eternal perspective. Reflect upon what Almighty God has done in your life. And remember, it's not about you, John. It's all about me. It's all about the glory of God. I have got so much stuff that I can't wait to share with you all on this passage of Scripture. Let me tie it together with this parting thought. When we get together next time, there's a guy named Robert Morgan. Is that a familiar name to any of you? Robert Morgan wrote a book called Red Sea Rules. Basically, it's his study of Exodus 14 and 9 or 10 rules when you get into a difficult situation, how God desires us to work through them. I can't imagine a more difficult situation than John the Baptist finds himself in, right? And Morgan's principles, I want to synthesize some of them for you. But here's the one I want to leave you with and why I wanted to make sure I shared this morning. Wherever you find yourself today, friend, whether it's something that the world would look at and call great times, or whether it's something we'd all look at and say, this is heartache, this is sadness, whether it's cancer, heart issues, dead relationships, loss of a loved one, loss of a child, whatever, financially, physically, emotionally, relationally, whatever it is you're going through, you mark this down. You are there as a non-believer or a believer. Trust me, on the authority of the Word of God. You're there by Almighty God's sovereign providence and design. You are where you are right now. Bill Miller is facing his demise and knows it. And he is carrying those thoughts with him, he and Carolyn. Mari and Jason, with the death of their infant daughter, 66-day-old Annika, pick the cancer, pick the business problem, pick the spiritual issue or the relational, and pick one. Pick them all. You're there in every one of them because a sovereign God has allowed and or ordained you to be there right now. Why? So that you, if you're a believer in Christ, would grow in your faith. So that you, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, would come to your end and you would finally get the point that it's not your degrees, your talent, your ability, your bank account, your connections, your religious rituals, your upbringing, your heritage, your insight, your scholarliness, your IQ. It's none of that. And you can't do anything for yourself. But surrender your will to a holy, loving, merciful, righteous God who paid the penalty for you in Christ.
Thanks for listening to Reformed Living with us today with John Politon. I hope you've been enjoying our study in the Gospel of Matthew and our focus today on struggling with doubt. Visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Find out more about John's church. If you are growing spiritually as a result of this ministry on the radio, please consider supporting this program by making a tax-deductible donation of any amount. Don't forget, you can download free MP3 copies of John's sermons while you're on our website, and you can also write to John or send donations to Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386 4727 East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. I'm Celeste Montague, inviting you to join us next time as we continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew. And now, here's John to close our time on the radio today.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.